Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some churches and civil society organizations today held a prayer session in Harare for Zimbabweans affected by the ongoing xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
The only crime that our children committed, those who went to the Republic of South Africa, was crossing the Limpopo to get an honest living in a different part of God's creation.
Leaders from countries including China, Iran, and Zimbabwe are attending the Asia-Africa Conference in Jakarta, where President Robert Mugabe has called for the transformation of the United Nations.
One of the essential ingredients in doing so will be the strengthening of our unity in continuing to fight for a United Nations that recognizes all its members as equal partners.
And the General Court of the European Union today dismissed an appeal by former Attorney General Johannes Tomana against the EU sanctions imposed on him and 109 other ZANU-PF officials and companies.
This is a farce. This is a joke. Well, probably this is what we expected anyway from those joking rock of the EU. How can they say sanctions are justified?
Some churches and civil society organizations today held a prayer session in Harare for Zimbabweans affected by the ongoing xenophobic attacks in South Africa. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital city.
And 500 people drawn from the clergy and civil society gathered at the Trinity Methodist Church in the capital to pray for some Zimbabweans whose stay in South Africa remain at risk following the ongoing xenophobic attacks in that country. Speaking at the occasion, President of the Zimbabwe Council of Churches, Ishmael Mukwanda, appealed for peace in South Africa, saying the church was not pleased with the ongoing attacks on foreign nationals.
We are simply behaving like animals. For whatever reason, we should never stoop that low. The only crime that our children committed, those who went to the Republic of South Africa, was crossing the Limpopo to get an honest living in a different part of God's creation. And the level of anger displayed by our brothers and sisters is unprecedented.
Representative of civil society organizations, Douglas Mdereki, who also works with the Zimbabwe Students Christian Movement, said thousands of Zimbabwean students learning in South Africa were likely to be affected by the xenophobic attacks.
We need to work together to change their attitudes, to change their mindset.
Several people were injured, while other foreigners have lost their lives in South Africa since the attacks on foreign nationals began a week ago. The Zimbabwean government has dispatched a fleet of buses to South Africa's Zimbabwe border post in Beitbridge to ferry its nationals who are fleeing the attacks across the Limpopo. The president of the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe, Shingi Munyeza, said the poor performance of the economy was forcing Zimbabweans to leave the country to seek greener pastures in South Africa and other nations.
So we are imploring the government of Zimbabwe to deal with economic issues so that our people will not be ashamed and embarrassment and they go and be butchered, abused, humiliated in our neighboring countries or any part of the world.
However, Finance and Economic Development Minister Patrick Chinamasa told VOA Studio 7 by phone that Zimbabwe is doing all it can to improve the country's economy. He said its major pillar was its new economic blueprint, the Zimbabwe Agenda for Sustainable Socio-Economic Transformation, or ZIMASET. Munyeza also urged Mr. Mugabe, who chairs both the Southern African Development Community and the African Union, to use his influence in the two blocs to promote peace and economic development in Africa. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, United Nations Secretary General Mr. Ban Ki-moon has condemned the wave of xenophobic violence in South Africa that has resulted in the deaths of at least 7 people in the past few weeks. Mr. Ban said in a statement today that he was pleased by the actions and statements of the President of South Africa and the government in attempting to address the violence. He welcomed the public expressions of the many South Africans who have been calling for peaceful coexistence and harmony with foreign nationals. He said all efforts should be made to avert future attacks, including any incitement leading to such violence.
A diverse cross-section of leaders from countries including China, Iran, and Zimbabwe are in Jakarta, Indonesia, attending the Asia-Africa Conference. China's leader outlined his nation's ambitious strategy to boost economies across Asia and Africa by building infrastructure and striking trade agreements. VOA's Brian Perdon reports from Jakarta.
President Xi Jinping addressed delegations from over 100 countries, including many heads of state, Wednesday, saying Beijing would further relax tariffs on many imports from developing nations to help boost their economies. The president called his country's economic plan a win-win approach that will encourage trade and investment. Critics of China's development plan say the country's building projects will not adhere to the same safeguards on human rights and environmental protections as projects funded by institutions like the World Bank. The United States frequently puts conditions on foreign development aid that calls on recipients to improve transparency, fight corruption, or make progress on political or social rights. In his speech to the gathering Wednesday, Indonesia's President Joko Widodo said, "It's imperative that we build a new economic order that is more open to emerging economic powers." Indonesia is one of the 57 countries that applied to join China's new development bank known as the Asia Infrastructure and Investment Bank. Japan and the United States have not joined. The co-chair of the conference, Zimbabwe's 91-year-old President Robert Mugabe, called for reform of the United Nations, specifically the elimination of the UN Security Council's veto power, which is dominated by permanent members, the United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China.
One of the essential ingredients in doing so will be the strengthening of our unity in continuing to fight for a United Nations that recognizes all its members as equal partners.
The leaders' summit at the Asia-Africa Conference ends Thursday and is expected to produce a new cooperative framework and bilateral trade agreements. Many of the leaders participating in the summit will also join in a procession in Bandung Friday to commemorate the original 1955 Asia-Africa Conference. Brian Padden, VOA News, Jakarta.
Commenting on the Asia-Africa Summit, which is being co-chaired by President Mugabe, economist Chris Mugaga of the Economita Global Capital tells Studio 7's Sandra Nyaira Mr. Mugabe should avoid making statements that impress the world and not bring any notable change on the ground to change the lives of the ordinary poor.
We are going to launch a campaign for no reforms, no election campaign throughout the country. We are going to mobilize people that it should be a national outcry that the conditions for election in Zimbabwe are not free and fair. And I think we are very conscious that ZANU-PF is not willing to engage in any reforms. We are aware of that. But like any struggle for this kind of conditions, it's not going to be easy. But we have begun by not participating in this election unless the conditions are right.
But we understand from insiders that there is no consensus in the MDC about the decision not to participate in the elections?
The position of the MDC is a majoritarian position. It doesn't mean that there has to be consensus for the MDC to wall everyone to back that position. But we have a majoritarian position in our Congress. There was a resolution not to participate unless conditions are right. In our council, that position has been taken. Of course, there will be others who will be looking at the minority interest, individual interest. We are not looking at individual interest. We are looking at the strategic interest to have change in the country. And the majoritarian position is that we shouldn't participate.
Is there bad blood between you and Madame Coupe over this issue, as reported in some newspapers?
Far from it. The newspapers are merely speculating. They enjoy this call. Those who are looking for fissures are merely speculating. And as far as I am concerned, the party is united over this position. Those who would like to think otherwise merely are doing so in order to create unnecessary dangers.
MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai has vowed to keep up political pressure on the government and the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission to institute electoral reforms. The MDCT and other opposition political parties are boycotting elections to push for reforms. But the non-participation is said to be causing serious friction in the MDC amid reports that Tsvangirai is clashing with his deputy Thokozani Coupe. Presently, Parliament has 27 vacant seats, but 8 of them will be filled through proportional representation. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu asked Tsvangirai if the boycott is working as no tangible reforms have been implemented.
Some candidates for the forthcoming by-elections who spoke to Studio 7 say there was a low turnout for today's voter registration exercise, which they say was poorly advertised. Believe Gaule, Cholocho campaign team member for ZANU-PF's Cholocho North candidate, Professor Jonathan Moyo, says his team held a meeting with Moyo today in preparation for the elections. He tells Studio 7's Tandekile Mhlanga the party will also encourage the electorate to participate in the voter registration exercise.
We have started our campaign, and it's clear that our candidate is winning, and it's clear that it's a walkover. It's clear that people would want to correct their mistake. A candidate of Professor Jonathan Moore's caliber competing with these other people on its own, you can imagine. People in Cholocho really are really itching and begging to make sure they correct their mistake.
Concerning the voter registration exercise that started today, can you brief us on what exactly happened in your constituency?
These people are rolling out this exercise, this voter registration exercise, and this is exactly what is happening on the ground. But we need to educate our people about this exercise that is on, so that people go and register their large numbers, especially the youth, and so that they are able to vote on the 10th of June. We as a party, ZANU-PF, we are going to use our structures, reaching out to the people to educate them about this exercise that is on, so that they can always go and register the voter. We are going to use our structures on the ground, our campaign teams in our ward.
That was Believe Gaule campaign team member for ZANU-PF's Cholocho North candidate, Professor Jonathan Moyo, on the line from Cholocho, Matabeleland North Province.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
The General Court of the European Union today dismissed an appeal by former Attorney General Johannes Tomana against EU sanctions imposed on him and 109 other ZANU-PF officials and companies. Stromana had challenged the travel and financial restrictions in 2012, arguing the measures were illegal and unjustified and should therefore be annulled. But the General Court ruled today the EU had acted legally in sanctioning Mr. Stromana and his colleagues because they were engaged in human rights violations and other activities that seriously undermined democracy. Today's ruling can be seen as merely academic since the EU has already scrapped most of the measures. Only President Robert Mugabe, his wife Grace, and the Zimbabwe Defense Industries remain on the list. Studio 7, Suntunga Milinkomo, reached ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Schumer for perspective.
This is a farce. This is a joke. Well, probably this is what we expected anyway from those joking rock of the EU. How can they say sanctions are justified? What have we done to end sanctions anyway in the first place? The sanctions came because we took what belonged to us. We took our land. And then now they put us on sanctions. Why? What have we done wrong? What rules have we broken? Which people have we sort of harassed? And the answer will come clear that nobody. Yes, as a country, as a people, we have had our shortcomings. But generally, I can tell you that we have done nothing wrong to deserve sanctions. And this ruling by the court is definitely a joke of the year.
The premise for these sanctions from the outset was that human rights were being compromised and there was no rule of law. Would you say these issues have since been addressed?
There's never been a point whereby rule of law was already observed. We've always observed the rule of law. We've always been a law-abiding citizen.
That was ZANU-PF Central Committee member Joseph Chuma. Ntungamili also reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda of Huddersfield University.
I think looking at this from a legal point of view and from the court's point of view, the judgment is certainly justifiable at law. It is justifiable even politically because President Mugabe's government and ZANU-PF have not done anything to improve on the situation in the country in terms of human rights, in terms of the rule of law, and in terms of electoral transparency. Therefore, there would be no reason at all for the sanctions to be removed or to be seen as illegal.
And how much impact does it have on ZANU-PF?
ZANU-PF operates on the basis of abnormality. Nothing normal has any effect on ZANU-PF. It's only when abnormal things happen. So the declaration that the sanctions are legal will not in any way affect ZANU-PF. In effect, they may use that to strengthen their abnormal position by saying it's a European, a Western court, and we take no directions from them, we're a sovereign country, and so forth. As a matter of fact, I see this as having no fundamental effect in the way ZANU-PF does things.
That was political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda speaking with Studio 7 from Britain.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
foreigners seek reintegration in South Africa following xenophobic attacks.
And Zifa appeals for funds to sponsor Zimbabwe Young Warriors. Stay tuned for more details.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Vatican says Pope Francis has accepted the resignation of a U.S. bishop convicted for failing to report a priest who collected lewd photographs of minor children.
A Saudi-led coalition launched new airstrikes in Yemen on Wednesday, hours after announcing a halt to a month-long bombing campaign.
The rights group Amnesty International called on European leaders today to launch a humanitarian effort to end the spiraling tragedy of migrant shipwrecks in the Mediterranean.
French officials say they've arrested an Islamic extremist who was heavily armed and suspected of planning attacks on one or more churches.
And an international rights group says members of a nomadic Muslim group in the Central African Republic are being held captive by radical Christian fighters and are at risk of sexual violence. You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you from the Voice of America in Washington, D.C.
Thousands of people, including South Africans, are expected to stage an anti-xenophobia peaceful march in Johannesburg tomorrow as violence targeting foreigners intensifies in some parts of the country. Representatives of the South African government are also expected to join the march, which will start at Hillbrow Township, home to thousands of foreigners. This comes at a time when some civil society organizations are calling for an end of the violence which they describe as Afrophobia instead of xenophobia, since blacks are attacking other blacks.
The other aim of the march is to enforce the reintegration of frightened foreigners into South African communities. Observers say this reintegration process needs to take into account the history of Africa's fight for independence from colonial rulers. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube speaks with Sabelo Sbanda, a member of a community initiative Upondo, and Diana Zimbuzana of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum. Sibanda, who is also a member of the School of African Awareness, says a lot of care is needed to implement this reintegration.
It's very workable from the perspective that we are in the process of identifying some of the underlying issues. Because if you notice, from the time of the 2008 attack up to now, there's been several service delivery protests within South Africa, some of which have involved looting and destruction of different properties, including looting of businesses, more particularly shops in the locations which belong to non-South Africans. So we have identified partly the issue of the economic and social rights which have to be addressed. The contestation is mainly between black people more than the generality of so-called foreigners. The real foreigners in Africa are immune from what is happening right now. And that is one of the reasons why we are marching as well, so that the world can see that the issue is not about South Africa per se. It's about some clusters within the different communities that have come together and decided that for their own various reasons, they should attack non-South Africans. But within our group, we have Zulus within Upondo who are saying, no, as South Africans, we disagree with this and we want to have a good relationship with our brothers and sisters.
Ms. Zimbuzana, is this black-on-black kind of violence going to be immune to the reintegration process?
The reintegration process, it depends with the willpower of the politician. We have had this problem for recorded 7 years, that is, and research has shown us that it has happened for longer than that, and it hasn't been fully addressed. Because if a politician, let's say, for example, President Jacob Zuma comes out and says, we must not behave like Africans in Africa, when South Africa is part of Africa, what message does that give to the rest of Africa? So politicians really now need to go out there and do a deeper, effective contemplation of their ways and actions. Reintegration is a very good thing. It's a noble idea. I support it. But it also needs to see a politician taking it a step further than it has already been taken for it to be fully implemented.
So, Mr. Sbanda, it seems as if politicians may be a stumbling block to the reintegration process. What is your reaction to it?
Yes, in many ways, I can concur with that, but having said that, our approach now is to say, with or without the attitude of the politicians, let's get people to integrate on the ground, because that is where the real issues lie. Because at the end of the day, policy is good in its own way. For instance, South Africa is one of the most progressive constitutions. But the Constitution is only as good as the enforcers of the Constitution. So that is why we are now saying our intervention, in as much as we are pushing the people who are within the spheres of power to do whatever they need to do, real integration is a people-to-people intervention and integration, not so much at a political level. So we need to get the people actively involved and the people actively engaged.
So, Ms. Zimbozana, when you look at the kind of reintegration process that we are looking at here, what is your idea of reintegration?
It has to start with our education, the South African education. Is it enough to address the historical background of this so-called rainbow nation? To South African youngsters, most of whom are the ones who have been attacking foreigners, they know what happened to South Africans when they were in so-called exile. And if that history is taught comprehensively, maybe they'll start having a deeper comprehension of the role that the rest of Africa played. And when they do have that comprehension, they are then able to appreciate why a foreigner would be there. And also, if that same foreigner needs to be asked, what do you want to see happening? How do you want to see living with your fellow South Africans?
And that was Diana Zimbuzana of the Zimbabwe Exiles Forum speaking with Studio 7 from Johannesburg, South Africa. You also heard from Sabelo Smanda of a community initiative, Upondo, and member of the School of African Awareness. He was also speaking from Johannesburg.
And in our sports news segment, the Zimbabwe Football Association is appealing to the corporate sector and the government for assistance in funding the under-23 young warriors for their next international encounter in Harare next month. Zifa spokesman Xolani Gwesela tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe that after the impressive performance by the young warriors in the All-Africa Games qualifier, in which they beat Cameroon last month, the team coached by former Dynamos mentor Calisto Pasua is broke.
The under-23 are now moving to the next competition, which is called the under-23 championship. This under-23 championship will be hosted by Senegal later during this year. So for the qualifying round, we are supposed to meet Swaziland on the 24th of May next month. When we beat Swaziland, then we are going to meet South Africa. So the under-23 will play Swaziland on the 24th of May at the Lufaro Stadium in Harare. We are very confident that they will be triumphant and qualify for the Senegal game.
And how prepared is the team, and does Zifa have the money to fund the preparations?
As you are aware of our situation, we are in dire need of government and corporate sponsorship, which means Zifa itself is constrained financially. We do not have enough resources to fund our warriors. And without the necessary support from the government and from the corporate sponsors, we will continue to have difficulties.
That was Zifa spokesman Xolani Gwesela speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawe from Harare.
Stay tuned to Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners and experts about voters' registration in Zimbabwe ahead of controversial parliamentary by-elections.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Some churches and civil society organizations today held a prayer session in Harare for Zimbabweans affected by the ongoing xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
Leaders from countries including China, Iran, and Zimbabwe are attending the Asia-Africa conference in Jakarta, where President Robert Mugabe has called for the transformation of the United Nations.
And the General Court of the European Union today dismissed an appeal by former Attorney General Johannes Tomana against the EU sanctions imposed on him and 109 other ZANU-PF officials and companies.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.